The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but children of God. We have seen his glory. Sorry. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, sent from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
On the 3rd of December 2012, the Duchess of Cambridge announced that she was expecting her first baby. The media, of course, went into a feeding frenzy. There she is, at last. After much awaiting, a royal tweet announced that the Duchess of Cambridge had gone into labour and was on her way to hospital. So people gathered outside Buckingham Palace waiting for the news. What was it? Of course, the media tried to get even closer. They waited outside the hospital, trying to get that all-important first photograph of the baby. At 4:24, on the 22nd of July, 2013, Prince George of Cambridge, great-grandson of Her Majesty the Queen, third in line to the throne of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, was born weighing in at 8 pounds and 6 ounces. And this was officially announced by the placing of an easel right near the gate, just a bit further away so the public couldn't grab it. And on the easel was a nice framed royal decree stating that he'd been born. To mark his birth, the King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery gave a 41-gun salute. The BT Tower announced it was a boy, although knowing it was BT, it was probably a week on Thursday between 1 and 6. And the royal family were out when it happened. Even the Canadian side of the Niagara Falls were lit blue to celebrate the birth of a boy, and one day a king. Now, and because I know that you all want one, here's a picture. Here's one of the first pictures of Prince George, okay? However, on the 22nd of July this year, Prince George celebrated his first birthday. And on the 22nd of July every year, they will, of course, the Windsor family, celebrate the birthday of George. But although every year they will celebrate that he was born, they will celebrate their child or their grandchild, or by April next year, hopefully, brother, they will gradually stop focusing on him as a baby. They will begin to focus on him as a young boy, and then as a man, and eventually, of course, as a king. And he'll celebrate his birthday on the 22nd of July every year, and because he'll be king at that point, he'll also probably have an official birthday at some other point when the weather's equally nice, in order to have all the pomp and ceremony and trooping of colours that goes with that status. But around 2,000 years ago, a prince was born. His birth had been long awaited for hundreds of years, not speculated about by the BBC, but foretold by the prophets of Israel. His impending arrival was announced in person only to the mother and adoptive father. Although astrologers from across the other side of the known world saw signs and omens in the stars and came themselves to find this king who was going to change the world. His birth had no easel placed outside a palace, nor were there any crowds waiting. There was no 41-gun salute, no announcement from the top of towers or tweets. There was, however, a royal fanfare, a choir of angels from the very throne room of the proud Father in heaven, announcing to a hillside of shepherds, or more importantly, a hillside of sheep and a few shepherds, the arrival of a royal prince. We all know the story so well, don't we? We all know it so well that we are familiar with the bits that aren't even actually in it. We all know about the donkey. We all know that actually there were three wise men. The statement, in a way, in a manger, that little Lord Jesus, no crying he made. That he was born on the 25th of December, so it must have been cold. Like our royalty, I like to think of this more as his official birthday with all the pomp and ceremony that goes with it. But I say all this because we've got to know the story so well that we've become stuck on one element of it, the birth of a baby. This birth was the first part of the most incredible sequence of events in world history. It was, of course, no ordinary baby. It was the fullness of God squeezed into the frailty of humanity. That God was willing to stoop down to earth and become man, starting as a baby, is mind-boggling. But the story doesn't end there. For this was the birth of a king. This was a king who was foretold in the stars. This was a king who caused such concern to the then current king of Israel that he was prompted to do the most heinous and reprehensible slaughter of children. This was a king born into poverty, who would only ever wear the royal purple when he was being ridiculed and beaten before his execution. And yet, this was a king who changed the world. This was a king who we still celebrate coming over 2,000 years later. Who else in human history has ever had such an impact and been celebrated 2 millennia later? But Jesus came to be light of the world. And that's one of the things, you see, we sing it every year, we read it every year, we've become familiar with the language so much that sometimes we say stuff and we don't get what it really means. We just had read to us in John's Gospel that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. But what does that mean? We live in a world of terrorism, of global poverty, financial and political corruption. Our news presents atrocities to us as everyday events. Even here in the UK, people are burdened with debt to the point of absolute despair. They are burdened with loneliness. They are burdened with a desperate need for there to be more to life than this. And every time we hear bad news, get a bill, come home to an empty house, or lie awake at night wondering what is the point, our world gets a little darker. And into this darkness was born a king. A king who, for those who elected to live under his rule, redefined the laws to mean liberty instead of constraint. Who taught community and love. In fact, he taught selfless love instead of selfishness. He modeled this way of life. He didn't just say that we should do it. He didn't just decree it from his throne. He lived it to prove it could be lived. To the sick, he brought healing. To the poor, he brought good news. To the despairing, he brought hope. And to all who would listen, he brought the meaning of life. As Isaiah said in the first reading we had, he came to strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Our world, though, isn't set up to work that way, is it? We're taught from birth to look out for number one. It's no surprise, then, that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. However, the Bible also tells us that to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. This Christmas, of course, we remember the wonder of the birth of God as a human child, but we leave out the real meaning of the story if we do not also celebrate the coming of hope, love, meaning and light into an otherwise despairing, empty, meaningless and dark world. In this age where people actually think that Christmas is the birthday of Santa, it's important to the world that we don't just celebrate Christmas merely as a religious festival, but as the birth of an ideology to be lived. Not a man-made ideology like so many that have failed, but a supernatural ideology where the light of hope that shines in the lives of people is the light of the living God, where the light of meaning is the purpose God gave us when he first made us, where the light of love is first experienced through the love of God in our lives and then shines out to those who we meet. This is why we feed the hungry, why we house the homeless, why we're planning to do yet more work with the poor and indebted. Not because we're do-gooders, but because when we met the King, we were changed. We were given hope, meaning, purpose, and love of Christ, which compels us to share it with others. The incredible quality of light is that if the darkness gets darker, the light seems to shine brighter. That darkness cannot overcome the light, but light can punch huge holes in the darkness. The light that came into the world that first Christmas, John's Gospel says, was to give light to everyone. The supernatural quality of God is such that no matter how many there are of us, there will always be enough for each one of us with plenty to spare. This Christmas, I wish you all the very merriest of celebrations, the best of times with friends and family. I wish you the heartiest of fare, the most relaxing of rests. But more than all this, I wish you an encounter with the meaning of life. This Christmas and into the new year and forever, may the light that entered this world with the Christ child shine in your hearts. May the light that shines from the throne of the King of heaven and earth shine into your lives, dispelling the darkness of fear and uncertainty, and giving you peace and purpose. And may our loving Heavenly Father reveal to us this Christmas the light of his presence, and by the light of Christ dispel the darkness of our hearts, that we may walk as children of light and sing his praise throughout the world. And may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God's love and light this Christmas time. Amen. And Merry Christmas.